Good evening. The show begins with a conversation about the two-part war, the twin war, the split-screen war, the war in Europe continuing with inadequate resources, Mr. Zelensky in Brussels pleading for money and more weapons and more ammo. Without adequate air defenses, the winter will be chaos and ruin in Ukraine. The Russians have plenty of missiles, and they're making more. We then mention with Mary Kissel, Xi and Putin, and their conduct, which is very difficult to summarize other than it's unacceptable. The idea that Mr. Putin can sit down with Mr. Biden and resolve anything in San Francisco at the OPEC meeting is far-fetched. A conversation with Jonathan Schanzer, the intelligence failure evident on October 7th, much in the way of renewing this debate that was left over from the 9/11 intelligence failure. Jonathan points to that as the best analogy he can think right now. I mentioned Pearl Harbor only because Pearl Harbor was a story where the U.S. believed Japan was going to attack in some time frame, November, December. But they thought the attack would be against the Philippines or perhaps Singapore, Malaysia. They did not anticipate Hawaii. That is not dissimilar to what we're seeing here. The Israelis always knew that Hamas was capable of attacking, not at this scale and not into Israel. More to turn over on that subject for a long time. Hamas as using weapons made in China, using weapons made in North Korea, which is sponsored by China. What does that mean for Iran's capability, Hezbollah's capability, China and Russia? Days ahead to discover that, but it'll be part of the conversation. Then Michael Bernstam talking about the GDP growth in Russia. Russia's boasting that it's going to grow 1.2% in 24. Why? Because it's poured a third of its budget into munitions, armaments, defense industry. As Michael Bernstam says, defense gives you GDP, but it doesn't give you money. There's nothing for the economy left. There's no prosperity. You have to pay for it. It doesn't make money. And then on to a conversation, a brief touch upon the crumbling economy in China and the provocation against the Philippines by the People's Republic of China, always probing, always poking, stirring things in East Asia. A happy conversation with Ruben Steff, a new colleague from Waikato University, North Island, New Zealand, about the imminent election and what it means for national security from New Zealand to join in to the defense of the Indo-Pacific from the Chinese aggression. And Jeff McCausland is here to apprise the Zelensky pleading with NATO for arms and whether there's enough for both Israel's needs ahead. And for Ukraine, no. The answer is no. The industrial base must get busy. The defense stocks know that, and I'm told they were all up in these last days. A three-front war, Jeff worries about in Israel. The southern front against Hamas, the northern front against Hezbollah, and the western front against elements of the IRGC and their militias. And then a comment on the $6 billion so-called $6 billion money, so-called humanitarian money in a Qatari bank is destined or designated for Iran, and how that policy of appeasing Iran or engaging Iran is now a failure given the allegations that Iran authored, funded, directed, green-lighted the operation October 7th. I understand it's still not confirmed, but then again, as Jonathan Schanzer says, why should we wait on an organization to confirm anything after it missed the October 7th attack? And that would be the CIA and the NSA. What credibility do they have missing an attack this grotesque? Finally, Bob Zimmerman reveals that there's a new leak on ISS, this one in the Nauka module that Russia took many years to build and put up, I think, last year or the year before when there was trouble. There was trouble when Nauka went up. It almost wrecked the station. Now there's a leak in it, and it's a new module. And the mystery of a blue light around galaxies. Odd. but astronomy is wonderful. There's more. I hope you enjoy. Thank you.